My name is Giorgio Settis. I'm the co-founder of Nutrafol.
My hair started thinning in my early 20s. I tried everything and nothing was really working. So we created Nutrafol. Our hair growth supplements undergo clinical trials and have helped millions of men and women get visibly thicker and stronger hair in just 3 to 6 months.
Hair growth starts from the inside at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Vincent Joe.
Hi, I'm Kathy Reed.
And I'm Allison Reed.
Hi, I'm Ashley.
Hi, I'm Grace.
We're from the Haydenettes.
I am Mark Henretti.
Ciao a tutti, siamo Rebecca Ghirardi.
E Filippo Ambrosini.
E vi diamo il benvenuto a
This Week in Skating.
Welcome to This Week in Skating, the weekly podcast bringing you the latest news from the world of figure skating. Here are your hosts, Daphne, Gina, and Matteo.
And we are back. We are 2 weeks out from the World Championships in Boston. I can't believe it.
Wow.
Time flies.
I know.
Yeah. We are so close. This is kind of the last time we'll be together until we do our Worlds preview, because next week I have something I have to do, so I will not be here. But Matteo and Gina can take care of it. I know they've got it.
Yep. It should be a quiet week next week.
Yep.
I don't think there's much going on. We're hoping, but you never know. But yeah, and then we'll schedule our Worlds preview in there somewhere where we're all three of us be talking about that. But I also want to mention something going on this week in Italy before we get started. The 2025 Special Olympics World Winter Games is taking place in Turin, Italy, from March 8th to the 15th. 1,500 athletes from 100 countries will take part across 8 sports, including figure skating. Carolina Costner was at the Olympic ceremonies greeting athletes. She walked through the opening ceremony with the Italian athletes. She also carried in the Special Olympics flag. She had quite the role at the opening ceremony. Figure skating, for those that are interested, is taking place Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday this week. And I'm going to be paying close attention to the Special Olympics because actually, I'm doing an interview with one of the Special Olympians from my area for my real job, not even for my skating. Nothing with skating. This is coming from my real job, and he is a figure skater. We're actually planning to do the interview on the ice, so I'm really excited about that. So stay tuned. I'll share that link when it's published. It's going to be a little bit because we're waiting for him to come back from Italy, and so I want to wish Matt the best of luck, as well as Corey. I skated with Corey at a point when I was skating, so good luck to them and to all of the athletes competing. I was looking at photos today, and it's just a neat experience. They've got their, you know, jackets, and they're coming in with flags, and it's just a real cool atmosphere, and so best of luck to all of the athletes taking part.
Well, moving on, or should I say jumping right in, we have our general skating news. The colored practice and event schedule for the World Championships in Boston has been released. We're always looking forward to the schedule because it lays out everything for us for the week. I'm going to be getting up very early for that first dance practice at 6 a.m.
Are you really going to go to that dance practice?
I am going. Yes. Yes.
What day is that?
That's on Tuesday.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I get in on Tuesday, and so if I see you later in the day on Tuesday, I don't know. Daphne, that's really early for you.
Or late if I just stay up all night. No, I'm just kidding. Probably what's going to happen is this. I will go to the practice and then go back to my hotel and take a nap.
Sounds like a good plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited. I mean, there are 37 dance teams, and some I've never seen in person before. And I'm excited to get to see the practices because some of those teams are not going to make the free dance. And this will be, you know, one of the opportunities to get to see parts of these programs. And there are some that I really want to. You know, I really want to see I think I've said it before. I think it's time for an increase in the number of teams that make it to the free dance. The level of dance has just improved so much. I think, you know, they need to reconsider and they need to add another warm-up group. It's just, you know, dance. We were getting low in numbers for a little while, but now the level, it's not just that we have so many teams. It's that the level of competition has improved so much. And there are good teams, great teams, that are not going to make it to the free dance. And so I'm all for inclusivity and adding to those numbers.
Yeah, and we need those teams to get that experience as well, isn't it? It's not just the minor events, or they have to be allowed to go all the way mm-hmm. through to the World Championships as well. It's an important event, and a lot of teams need to experience that in their growth as athletes. Yeah.
So there will be a memorial remembrance for the victims of Flight 5342 at 6:15 p.m. on Wednesday before the start of the Parachute Program. The event will feature speakers, including Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey, Boston Mayor Michelle Wu, ISU President Kim Jaul, and U.S. Figure Skating Interim CEO Sam Auksher. Doug Lane, who lost his wife Christine and son Spencer in the accident, will speak on behalf of the families. There will also be a video remembrance and local choir performances.
The Turvylandin Our Last Dance UK tour is going to kick off next month. Cast members joining the legendary pair include Phoebe Becker and James Hernandez, Mark Andretti, Vanessa James and Eric Radford, Mirai Nagasu, Philip Warren, Anastasia Vipanlo, and Luke Digby. We're going to add a link to our show notes.
Well, U.S. Figure Skating announced a partnership with O2X Human Performance to expand sports psychology and mental performance initiatives.
The ISU is giving away a virtual meet and greet with Luna Hendricks. You can enter by liking and tagging a friend on the ISU's post on Twitter or Instagram and voting in the 2025 ISU Figure Skating Awards.
Dancing on Ice has crowned its new champions. The winners were Coronation Street actor Sam Aston and Molly Lanigan, runner-up television presenter Michaela Stratham and Mark Andretti, and third place footballer Anton Ferdinand and Annette Dittert. This was also the final Dancing on Ice performances from 1984 Olympic champions Jane Torvill and Christopher Dean as they retired from TV performances. And as mentioned, they will be performing on a 50th anniversary tour starting in April.
So are they still doing the show? Is that, even though Torvill and Dean are retiring from TV performances, are they still going to be a part of the show next season?
That's what I got. So they will not perform anymore. But I think that they will still be there because they've been quite essential to the show. But I'll make sure to double check and we'll share if it's not the case. What we should be saying as well is that was Mark Andretti's last show because he's not going to come back next year. And he was there, I think, from the start. So has been an essential member of the entire production and very much loved from everyone working there and from, I think, fans in the UK and internationally. So well done for ending in the runner-up position. It's quite an achievement.
For our last piece of general skating news for this week, we are discussing something that happened, I believe it was on Thursday, when this first surfaced. So late last week, a video clip surfaced on the social media platform X or Twitter. The video clip included controversial statements involving the crash of American Airlines Flight 5342, and it led U.S. Figure Skating to release a statement condemning the statements that were made on this video.
The clip came from a live broadcast of the skating lesson that was available to Patreon subscribers only. Now, Patreon is an online platform allowing fans to support content creators financially while receiving perks such as access to exclusive content and live updates. In the clip, host Dave Lees made the comment while watching and reviewing the Legacy on Ice show with his co-host, Jenny Kirk.
After the clip made its way to social media, U.S. Figure Skating released a statement. We unequivocally condemn the cruel and malicious remarks made by the skating lesson regarding the tragic loss of those aboard Flight 5342. Such heartless rhetoric has no place in our community. we value and celebrate every member of the skating world, from Olympians to those skating their first steps on the ice, and we refuse to let such a vile narrative go unchallenged.
That statement was shared by many members of the figure skating community, not only those from the United States, but international skaters past and present also shared this statement.
Now, Dave Lees took down all of the Skating Lessons social media accounts as well as its YouTube channel. TSL's Patreon remains up. It's still up as we speak. On Friday, he reactivated the Skating Lessons Twitter account and released the following statement saying, "On Sunday night, I was having a conversation on TSL Live about the futility and despair of the tragedy of American Airlines 5342, and a snippet of that conversation was released on social media. While the clip was taken out of context, it's not important. I'm deeply apologetic and personally devastated that that clip hurt people, especially those impacted by the tragedy of American Airlines 5342, the families of the victims, fellow skaters, U.S. figure skating, and members of the figure skating community. Since the tragedy of American Airlines 5342, I have had persistent thoughts questioning whether elite sports and the sacrifices involved are worth it. I remain gutted by the personal sacrifices by the skaters and their families and the immensity of the loss of human potential. Knowing the weight of this tragedy, I have questioned whether anyone is talented enough to justify it, which came off as I had called the victims untalented, which is the furthest from my intentions. I am devastated and ashamed by my choice of words and devastated on how they have impacted others in the sport. The pressure of the nonstop feedback of social media and the many dark topics that have plagued the sport over the last years have clouded my enjoyment and brought out aspects of myself that I'm not always proud of. It's a wake-up call to me that I need to step away from the sport and social media to reflect and reevaluate. Skating can be such a beautiful sport, but I'm not in the capacity to share that. I am deeply sorry for the pain that this has caused and hope that we never lose sight of the passion and potential of those who were lost." And then that was, again, Dave Lees's statement in full that he posted on Twitter.
We should add that as part of this video, Dave Lees and his co-host Jenny Kirk, they were reviewing the Legacy on Ice benefit show that had taken place on March 2nd.
This is not the first time that Lees and the Skating Lesson have come under fire or received backlash for controversial commentary.
Recently, you may remember that on This Week in Skating, Matteo, Gina, and I have talked about skaters like Amber Glenn coming forward to talk about the toxic comments that have been made on some of the YouTube live streams or on social media. And I think this is another indication of some of that toxicity and negativity that's in the world of skating that I think for the betterment of the athletes, for their sake, we need to kind of step away from that. For someone like Amber to have to come forward to call it out is really disappointing. Amber has taken this unofficial role as like a mentor and leader for some of the younger skaters, and I think her speaking out speaks volumes about how much she cares and how she is trying to make things better for the skaters that are coming up behind her.
Comments are not good when they're meaning something negative and hurtful to someone. In fact, you know, you mentioned the episode where we were talking about comments being shared online, and I've been trying to write an article about social media and the impact of social media, but ever since I started writing that article, there's always something new coming out, and it's not good because there are things that are positively influenced by social media, the things that are negatively influenced by social media. The example of the Skating Lesson is an example that shows that once something is out there to stay. People see it, and depending on your presence, it can resonate nationally, internationally, But we have to be careful because, you know, beyond the fact that someone can see what you said, you should not be saying some things. That doesn't mean that someone shall not have the freedom to say what they think, but there are so many different ways to say something. And being respectful is key, always. We heard way too much in the skating, way too much, whether it's something that happened on a live streaming, comments on social media, comments at events as well. The community does not want to have the negativity. Let's focus on the positive things and spread positive messages.
There's a constructive way to report on things and a destructive way. And so I guess my best advice would be, before you post something, take a breath, maybe sleep on it. I know it's hard because you get fired up. Think about this. Would you want the person you're writing about to read that message the way that you've written it? And with that, we are going to move on to our event coverage and results, because we had the World Junior Synchronized Skating Championships going on last week.
I am so excited to talk about this. Can I talk about this?
You know, okay. Yes.
So I did watch the World Junior Synchronized Skating Championships, which was on YouTube. And I will say, I noticed that live comments were disabled. So maybe that was a response to the comments that were coming during the World Junior Championships. But I noticed that live chat was disabled. But it was a historic event, as Teams Elite is the first U.S. team at any level to win gold at a World Championships. They were in third after the short program, but less than a point out of first place. So it was really close there after the short program, within like the top five teams.
Was very close. Yes. I noticed.
It was really close.
Leaderboard.
It was, yeah, made for a very exciting free skate. And Teams Elite, their Black Swan free skate, which a lot of people are doing Black Swan this season, it seems.
Yeah.
Was just shy of a season's best. They finished first in the free skate and first overall to claim the gold. Now, this is their second World Junior Championship medal. They took bronze in 2022. Now, three-time world champions Team Fantastic of Finland was in fifth after the short program, but they were only 2 points out of first. That's how close, again, it was. They earned a season's best free skate and a total score to claim the silver medal, their second straight world silver medal. But fun fact here, since the World Junior Synchronized Skating Championships started in 2013, Team Fantastic has won a medal at all but two events. They've won 9 medals. So it's really crazy how good they are, and how good all of Finland is for synchronized skating. The Skyliners of the U.S. claimed the bronze medal. They were second after the short program. They earned a new season's best for their free skate and total score, crushing their previous best total score by more than 11 points. They have now medaled at the last 6 World Junior Championships they have attended. This marks the second time 2 U.S. teams have stood on the podium at the World Junior Championships. Skyliners and Teams Elite earned silver and bronze, respectively, in 2022. The 2024 World Junior Champions, Les Supremes Junior of Canada, they were the leaders after the short program. They had a fall during their synchronized spin element, and they finished 4th. So again, how close it was in the short program, one little mistake cost a team a medal. The Valley Bay Synchro of Finland, who were the top Finnish team after the short program, dropped to 5th after suffering 2 falls on an intersection element. So it was a lot of changing, but it was a really good free skate. I watched mostly on Friday and most on just the last group on Saturday. So very exciting. Congrats to Teams Elite for making that historic gold medal.
Can I just say that I would love one day to see synchronized skating at the Olympic Games, because it's so entertaining It's beautiful. It's been out there for so many years, and I don't understand why it's not at the Olympic Games yet.
I agree with
you.
That's it. I'm so with you there, Matteo. I'm so mad that it's not an Olympic sport. And just the crowd atmosphere that you get in a synchro event, I could hear it through the live stream. It's so different than a figure skating event. No offense. We have great fans at figure skating events, and I hope Boston is loud and everyone's cheering and all of that, but there's nothing that competes with synchro in the way that the crowd really gets into it. So
I remember I think it was my first event as live media in person. So it was Finlandia Trophy 2021, so the start of the Olympic year. And I remember I went there and then the skating event finished, and straight after that they had synchronized skating happening. And I was about to leave the arena, if not that I heard this massive cheering and I thought, what's happening? So I get back and they have synchronized skating happening. And you know how tired we get, right? At the end of a media day, it's extremely tiring because you start with practice, then you do the competition, and then you feel like, let's go home. But that day I said, I cannot leave this place. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, I went to the World Championships in 2023 and I'm hooked. I'm like, oh, it was on this weekend. I am watching it. And so we still have the Senior Worlds coming up in a few weeks. Yep. So looking forward to watching that as well. And hopefully I will get back to another synchro event. Hopefully we have one in the U.S. again. I was going to go to the U.S. Synchro Championships this year in Colorado Springs, but with trying to go to nationals and then with worlds, it's just too much in 3 months of the year. So I had to skip it, but maybe down the line, I can get to a U.S. synchronized championships as well.
Well, moving on to the U.S. Solo Ice Dance International that took place down in Georgia. At the senior event, gold went to Great Britain's Layla Carnes. Silver went to Lucas Appel of the U.S. and bronze went to Emmy Bronsard of Canada. In the junior event, it was the Team USA sweep, with Desi Hoeing-Moxley taking the gold, Allison Rowe taking silver, and Violet Yan taking bronze.
The third Maria Olszewska Memorial took place in Poland. Bradyton L won the women's event with two solid skates. We want to mention Alexa Gasparotto, who became the eighth US woman and the first ever black woman worldwide to land a triple axel in competition. She finished in eighth place. Cornel Witwolski of Poland won the men's event, and Mila Ruz-Reitan and Nikolai Majerov won the dance event. We are also going to have more results in our show notes, including Magnolia Open, Sonia Enya Trophy, Denver Cup International, Denver Invitational, and Leon Lugier Trophy.
Moving on to upcoming events for the week, we have four events coming up this week. We have the 50th Howard Van Camp Invitational, which is a solo dance series event in Michigan. We have the Degalva Open Cup in Riga, Latvia, the Coup de Pretem in Luxembourg, and Budapest Cup, which is a synchro event in Hungary.
Well, moving on to our online updates, Team USA ice dancer William Lissauer has decided to take a gap year from college and continue skating after announcing his retirement a few weeks ago. So he has decided he's not ready to give up skating yet, and we're glad to hear that and looking forward to seeing him and Emily compete next season.
The Novice Hoquette Synchro Team out of Ann Arbor, Michigan, posted that they had an awesome time skating with and learning from Michael Parsons.
Jessica Callang and Zach Sidhu got engaged in Hawaii. Jessica also celebrated her 30th birthday there as well. Azerbaijani ice dancers Maxime Weatherby and Sasha Kolosovsky were married in Florida, where they currently train. And congratulations are in order to Olympian and coach Alper Uchar, who announced that he and his wife Yulia have welcomed a son they have named Archie. There's one more item, guys, I wanted to add. It seems that NF, who is the mastermind behind Ilya's song Hope that he skated to at Legacy on Ice, has seen the tribute, and he and his wife loved it.
Well, for the articles we would like to highlight this week, one is not actually an article. It's a podcast. Our friends over at Off Ice Hours Podcast, or Office Hours Podcast, however you would like to call it, they were back after a little break, and they had an interview with Beck Stromer. So it was nice to hear Lindsay and Luke back on the podcast, and they had a great conversation with Beck Stromer.
Well, WGN News and NBC 10 Philadelphia each had videos that were highlighting shows that were going on in the area. That those shows were raising money for Flight 5342 support funds. And so they took place in Wilmette, Illinois and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The rest of the links will be available in our show notes. Well, before we sign off for the podcast, you know that we like to shine a lens on what's going on at our respective websites.
So starting with This Week in Skating, if you haven't listened to it, I would definitely suggest to listen to the special episode about Legacy on Ice that Gene and Daphne recorded last week. It's beautiful. I really felt like I was there in Legacy on Ice when I listened to it, so highly recommend it. Don't forget to check our merchandise available on our Swag page, and also you can join our Patreon for access to ad-free episodes.
Over at IDC, I have Matteo's interview with Ireland's Carolan Soucis and Shane Fieris.
Well, over at FSO, I have a recap of the World Junior Synchronized Skating Championships, and I did some updates to Synchro Central. And later this week, I will have just some of my thoughts on Legacy on Ice. I'm taking what I kind of talked about with Daphne and putting it in written form, and that will be up on the FSO site later this week.
Well, one thing we wanted to highlight before we log off is you guys may remember hearing about a cookbook a while back. So Shelley Bingham Capron has done, I think, a couple of cookbooks. So Shelley's going to do the third book in her Figure Skaters Favorites cookbook series. Proceeds from this book will be donated to the U.S. Figure Skating Family Support Fund. All members of skating community are welcomed and encouraged to contribute recipes to this very special project. There will be opportunities to purchase display ads, as well as special message space, and to be included in a list of supporters if you so choose. Shelley's really looking for folks to submit recipes for this edition of the cookbook, and it's for such a great cause. If you have a recipe that you would like to contribute, you can go to skaterscookbook.com and the information should be there. With that, we have reached the end of this episode. Next week, Gina and Matteo will be on their own, but we should all be together to give our preview of what the World Championships should look like. So until next time.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of This Week in Skating. Remember, you can keep up with us throughout the week by visiting our website at www.thisweekinskating.com. Connect with us on social media for additional updates. You can find us on Twitter at This Week in Skating without the E's, or Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at This Week in Skating. You got a burning question or feedback for Gina, Daphne, or Matteo? Reach out to us via social media or drop us an email at thisweekinskating@gmail.com. And if you're really enjoying the show and want to support us further, consider joining our Patreon community at patreon.com/thisweekinskating. Until next time, have a nice week.